All right. Thank you, Brother Stephen. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Hey, you always say that. I mean it, too. Amen. You know what? It's amazing. It's amazing. Now, we were here 2 years ago, and I believe we had a good meeting. And ever since then, I've looked forward to coming back. Your pastor and I got to preach in Pensacola together and see each other. That was a real joy. And we've looked forward to this. And as long as 2 years can seem sometimes, in reality, we're back, but you know what? It's over. I mean, you know, you can anticipate something, and then, you know, like a twinkling of an eye, this is the last service. And I just want to say this. In some places, I'm ready to leave about 2 days before the meeting's over. That's just part of it. And then every once in a while, God will give us a breath of fresh air. And it helps make it worthwhile being a couple thousand miles away from your kids and grandkids and your home church and things like that. It'll give us a little oasis where it's just a joy to be around people that love the Lord. And my wife and I concur on this. She's in the nursery tonight. I don't know if it's because she doesn't like this message. Or I didn't even tell her what I was preaching. But no, she liked to help out like that. But we agree on this right here. You guys are precious, precious folks. And we love this church. Appreciate the friendship of the Stevenses through the years now. And it means a lot to us. And as we get to know some of you even better. And it's been a real joy. And I covet your prayers for us. And I pray the Lord come back. But if he doesn't, I pray that we'll have an opportunity to. Amen. Thank you for your kindness to the Spurgeons this week. Take your Bible now for the final message. And let's go to Philippians chapter 4. And the Lord doesn't let me get away with nothing. Even if I catch it, he makes me tell on myself. Amen. I don't mind because it's not about me. Or you. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, tonight in verse 13. A familiar passage, and what the Lord's directed me to preach tonight to wrap this thing up. And again, as the pastor said, what ends tonight is the meeting. But if God stirred anything in your heart, if any real business was done with God this week, and it sure looked like it, then that doesn't stop tonight. Isn't that good? So, anyway, the last message of the meeting will be on this verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Again, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That does not mean you can jump off the Empire State Building. Amen. That's not what that means. Amen. It means that through Christ, you can do everything you're supposed to do. You can do everything you're commanded to do. You can do everything you're admonished to do. You can do what you're supposed to do through Jesus Christ. Whether it seems like it or not, amen. It just says that you can. And so, I want to preach out of that verse a little bit, that passage tonight, that chapter. I appreciate, there's a United States Navy unit, a can do is their motto. When I come out of Arlington Cemetery, I get to go there every couple of years. I preach in that area every couple of years, and I always go there, and I always go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and that's my favorite place over there. The first time I went there after I was saved, I was a new Christian. I was just walking around. Now I take the bus, but I was walking back there, and I should walk. That's what I should. And I just thought, you know, probably a lot. There are thousands upon thousands of graves in there, and And I thought, there's no doubt a bunch of these folks are saved. And here I was probably newly aware, you know, that the dead in Christ should rise first. And there's other people walking through the cemetery on their way back. Some are spent a lot of time at Kennedy's grave. Amen. And I just thought, I was with a couple of friends, and I thought, wouldn't it be something for the trumpet to blow right now? And there, we were right in the middle of probably thousands and thousands of Christians that might come up. And anyway, that's the way it was working in my head. And I thought, that'd be something. And then to watch the expression on these people that are walking around that aren't saved, amen, a lot of probably heart attacks there. You know, I'm not morbid. That's just what I thought of. But when you come out of Arlington National Cemetery, some of you may have been there, you come out and you make the drive over the bridge back into Washington, D.C., and you're looking at the back of the Lincoln Memorial. There's some monuments on either side of the drive. And there's one to the ladies, that women that have served in the military. There's a nice monument there for them, statue and everything. And one of my favorites, going out on your right, is the big crest of the 101st Airborne Division. That particularly appeals to my heart. Amen. But the last one on the left going out, there's a guy, and he's not dressed in combat equipment. He has a shovel. He has his sleeves rolled up. He's got bulging muscles. He's down, and he's leaning into whatever task he's attempting to do. And over his head, it says this, "Can do." And that's the motto of the United States Navy, Seabees. And I'll tell you what, when they say can do, they're talking about doing necessary tasks so that Marines and others can get to where they need to be. They're doing it under fire. And they're not equipped for combat as much as they are driving bulldozers and laying down PSP landing strips. And that's their motto. That's their attitude. If it needs to be done in seemingly impossible circumstances, we're the guys. And I don't know about you, I just appreciate that spirit. And I'll tell you something tonight. A positive attitude is encouraging. What we've got even in Bible Christianity these days is this, "I'll try." That is so limp-wristed. Amen. Amen. Listen, I just like running across some folks that, we understand, Lord willing, but I just appreciate some people that says, "Yeah, I can do it." Amen. And then give it their best. And I believe God appreciates it too. Listen, when Pensacola, last September, down there for the blowout, I came in from Amarillo burning a quart of oil every 100 miles and leaving oil tracks for 1,000 miles and got to the blowout. Amen. And after 3 days of trying to figure out what was wrong, what was wrong was the engine was shot, gone, in that motorhome right there. And tell you what, you just don't go to any little local garage and say, "Could you rebuild my engine?" And I mean the camping places and the Ford dealership and the people that you know, it seemed like they didn't want to touch it. I got a dilemma. Amen. I got a schedule. You know, when the meeting ends, I got to get back on the road, and now my house is down. And I got to leave it in Pensacola, but I've got to leave it there somewhere where it's going to be repaired. And I asked the Lord about that, and everything that seemed, you know, logical to me just closed down every door. And there's a little shop over on Palafox, and I went over and talked to these guys about something, and I just mentioned that I had this issue. And I said, the shop wasn't as big as this. It probably wasn't half as big as this auditorium. And I said, "Do you guys know any place that might me be willing to pull the engine out of a motorhome?" And the guy says, "Yeah, we can do it." And I said, "You don't even have room here to park it." He said, "Oh, yeah. We could get it in. We could wedge it in between the fence and the building, and And we can do it outside. It's September. And we can do it. And I said, have you ever done a motorhome before? And I said, no, but how hard could it be? You know, on one side of my brain, something is saying, it's time to go. But on the other side, some was saying that, you know, I respect these guys' attitude. They said, hey, if man build it, it can be fixed. And we can do it. And I asked the Lord about that. And I left it with them. And they did a great job. Amen. Why? Why'd you leave it there? One reason only. Not because of their resume, not because of their experience, because of their attitude. We can do it. Listen, there's some things that the Bible requests and commands of us. And I'm telling you here tonight, I'm going to leave you with this, that from now until the Lord comes back, we can do it. What your preacher preaches, what the devil throws at you, you can make it through Christ. Amen. So that's what I want to preach on. Can do. Father, I love you tonight. I thank you for blessing Hope Baptist Church. I pray that you bless it. I pray you continue to give Brother Stevens the wisdom to direct this ship. I pray you bless his men and families that stand behind him. And Father, I just pray that you continue to use them for your honor and glory until you come get us. And though I pray that soon, I just pray, God, that we just stay in the fight together until you see fit to end it. And so, Lord, I pray now this message that it might be a blessing to you and to these precious folks who a couple years ago was another congregation, but now are friends. And Lord, I just pray, God, you'd meet with us one more time. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We're going to look at a couple things here in the chapter and try to get a little encouragement from the Lord tonight. Verse 1, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Philippians 4 and verse 1, the Bible says this, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. I don't know about you, but I'm getting the impression that Paul likes these folks. Yeah, that's scripture for me to brag on y'all, because that's what he's doing here. Amen. And here's what he tells them. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Amen. And number one tonight, that's what we need to do, and we can do it through Christ. We need to stand fast. We need to stand fast in the Lord. People ask me all the time, Brother Spurgeon, what do you see traveling around? I'll tell you what I see. James chapter 1, I believe it is. James chapter 1. Let's see what it says there. Let me see. Yeah. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Some of you ought to underline that one. I'll tell you what I did a long time ago. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, look what it says, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What do you see, Brother Bird? I'll tell you what I see. A lot of wavering going on these days. A lot of wavering, amen, amongst churches that claim to be King James, independent Bible. Billy, I tell you what, some of our churches, our crowd I'm talking about, are too independent for their own good. Yeah, amen. A lot of wavering when it comes to music. Yeah. Let me tell you something. And I don't see any danger of that happening here. On the contrary. Amen. But if a church loses control of its music, it'll never get it back. Boy, if there's a venue that the devil uses, amen, to divide and conquer, it's contaminating with contemporary music. Amen. And I appreciate the music here. Amen. But I hate to be the one to bring you the sad news that there's a lot of places where that is the first place that the standard goes down. Amen. I shudder sometimes in churches where a special will be announced. A special will be announced, and usually a girl, a lady, young girl, goes up to the platform and gets a hold of the microphone and poises herself just right, and then I'm waiting for a musician. But instead of a musician, the nod goes to the sound man. And I've seen some young ladies with their right spirit wanting to do something for God. But I'm going to tell you what, and maybe the words were okay, but the music that comes out of the speakers, maybe some don't recognize the devil's beat, but some of us are out there long enough, we know it all too well. Hey, listen, I don't know any other way to say it. I shudder when I see that. Acapella's mine. Amen. And I'm not preaching on canned music. I'm preaching on godly music. And here's what he says. He says, stand fast. And a lot of folks aren't. And I'm glad you are. A lot of folks are wavering when it comes to convictions. There's a lot of rethinking going on. I mean, I've only been saved 20 years, but 20 years ago I would... While I was on federal probation, man, I was at everything, every camp meeting. I listened to Brother Green and others come and preach. And, man, they preached on stuff you never hear about anymore. And I got to look at Christianity as a whole. And I don't think we're closer to God than we were 20 years ago. What do you think? Some of you have been saved a lot longer than me, and you've seen some things change. And listen, I tell you what, I feel sorry. I feel sorry for people that are saved that don't have any convictions. Man, Holy Ghost convictions about some things, about how to dress, about where to go, about what to listen to, about what to watch, about what to have in your home and what not to have in your home, where not to go, what not to be talking about. Holy Ghost conviction, not a set of rules. Not religion, but Holy Ghost conviction. That's what makes this thing real. There's things I've heard preached, and instead of getting mad because I disagreed, I'd go to an old-fashioned altar and I'd say, what about that, God? And there's things God said, well, you heard it, didn't you? And I'd start praying about implementing it in my life. I come wanting to be changed. For the glory of God. Hey, I was a rebel for 20 years. I went out of the rebel business. I heard things preached and sometimes God said, that's not for you. Amen. That's why we don't have just a set of standard rules that bless God, if you love God, you'll do this, 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 and this. That's not the way it is. It's more personal than that. If you're sensitive to the still small voice of God, He'll speak to you. But, man, I'll tell you what, I don't even see that as a big deal anymore. We act like we're doing God a favor just by showing up at church now and then. Really do. Amen. And, Holy Ghost conviction is what makes this thing real to me. Now, you might have different ones than me, that's fine, but, man, you better have some. You better get some. You better ask God about some things. Amen. If you get sensitive to the Spirit of God, then the Spirit of God can warn you when you're heading down the wrong track. You think tucking a King James Bible under your arm is all there is to being a Bible believer, you're wrong. That's where it starts. That's not the end of it. Amen. And There's some wavering going on when it comes to the Word of God. Now listen, there's big struggles in the past with fundamentalists over the Bible. Listen, I thank God for pulling me out of a county jail and putting me in a church where the Word of God was preached and believed. Preacher taught, my pastor at the time taught rightly dividing in Sunday school for a year. Amen. And then why the King James Bible is the Word of God? For a year. It's never been an issue. I didn't know anything about it when I got saved, but it's never been an issue for me. But now again, the winds of doubt and discord are in the air, and even fundamentalists are questioning it again.
Well, we believe the Word of God is preserved because He said He'd preserve it. So if you say it's not, you're calling God a liar. But we don't believe it's perfect.
You know, my mom, I grew up in out in the country in Ohio, and my mom used to can. Any ladies in here ever can stuff? And afraid to raise your hand, I see, but that's okay. Yeah. Afraid somebody will come over and want some. I know. That's good stuff. Amen. But you know what? Whether it was grapes or strawberries or green beans, whatever it was the best she could come up with, man. She didn't can rotten stuff. God preserved a impure book? Is that what they're trying to say? Tell you what. They read too much for their own good. Amen. They don't make any sense. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I know from experience some things that I've read and heard that God, just like Doc says, God's messing with their minds. Amen. Yeah, it says He preserved it. It also says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for a reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's what it says. Amen. So, and I'm just going to say this because it's in my notes. I know you know this because I know you're a preacher. I know you men. But stand fast on the King James Bible. Listen, where I come from, somebody said, Brother Spurgeon, can you prove it's the Word of God, infallible Word of God? And I said, sure. They said, oh, do you know the Greek? I said, I know the one that runs a restaurant up the street. Well, how can you prove that it's the inspired Word of God? I said, I'll tell you how. One day I did what it said. And it did what it said it'd do. It changed my heart. That's all proof I need. Listen, where I come from, if something works, don't mess with it. And I know it's the same way around here, too. Amen. So it said there in the verse, it says, so stand fast in the Lord. I know it's rough sometimes. I know it's hard to hold on to your old-time convictions and the attacks on the Word of God. I know all that. But, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn. And it just makes sense. The enemy's fighting harder than ever. We were talking about the Battle of the Bulge today. Listen, Hitler threw everything he had against the Allied forces at the Battle of the Bulge, knowing that if he didn't win, that the war was lost. Amen. Thank God our troops didn't get scared and go home. Well, why would God's troops get scared and go home as the devil attacks and throws up his biggest front when we know that we're more than conquerors? We're the winners. Amen. I tell you what's about to happen. Dark as it is spiritually out there, the Sun of Righteousness is about to break over the eastern horizon. Let me say this to you, beloved, and blessed hope, that it's not time to quit. It's not time to let up or lighten up. It's time to stand fast. Amen. And you can. Because you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Amen. Number one, stand fast. Number two, verse, Philippians 4. Come on. Verse 4. Look what it says. This has come up this week a few times. There's a reason for it. It wasn't my idea. I don't sit around and analyze, okay, what do they need, Lord? I did not Google you to find out your needs. Amen. I have fun with that word. I have a question. Somebody ought to Google and find out how it became a verb. I don't get that. Anyway, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. There's some things we need to do. And you can. Because you can do all things through Christ. And we need to maintain our joy. We need to rejoice. You know, there's things going on you can't rejoice in. That doesn't say that. But it does say rejoice in the Lord. Amen. And it said there in Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I know it's been a little overcast here, but I perceive that people in Minnesota probably don't mind overcast, you know, when you compare it to 13 feet of snow, like you're probably used to. I don't know. Amen. For sure. But I know this. You know, when it's nice out, isn't it easy to rejoice in the day that the Lord hath made? Aren't we prone to murmur and complain? Oh, it's raining again. We went through 2 months of rain from Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, all those places them tornadoes were. That's where we were, living in a motorhome, plugged into the side of the church. I had pastors come and say, here's the keys. You and your wife feel free to go in the church if you feel the need. I'm thinking, well, they go home to their brick houses and hide in their basements. Yeah, nobody asked me to their basement. They just said, you know, maybe you can, you know, what, am I going to feel more spiritual if a tornado gets me in the church? I look at my wife. I said, what do you think? She said, go to bed, man. And we did. But I'll tell you what, 2 months of rain in one of those things, I mean, you think Chinese water torture's bad? Try living in a popcorn popper. I mean, it got so loud in there, my wife and I, we couldn't hardly hear each other. And we already have a hearing problem. Yeah, she didn't when I married her. I don't know what happened. But we've been in there, the lips are moving and we can't hear nothing. I mean, I've gone out of the motorhome and stood in the middle of a parking lot in the pouring, pelting rain. My wife said, what are you doing? She goes, I can't take it anymore. But as much as I wanted to complain about the rain, it didn't take very long to get a little news blurb about cities being washed down the Mississippi River or a tornado going through Joplin or Tuscaloosa and hundreds dying and thousands losing their home. I'll tell you what, I was rejoicing in the day just because all that wasn't going on around me. It's easy to rejoice when everything's going fine. It's easy to rejoice when the weather's good. It's easy to rejoice when everything's going your way. Man, I've seen people get up and give testimony. I mean, they were on cloud nine and everything was going great and they really didn't comprehend how some of the people that were having these problems could be having so many problems. I mean, come on, don't you love Jesus? And then I'm giving these glowing testimonies until their world started coming apart at the seams. And then I tell you what, I learned something through the bus fires and other things that have happened with us. I learned that it's during those trials that people are watching to see how real your Christianity really is. It's easy to say, oh, I love Jesus, and oh, I have faith. And sometimes we put more faith in our problems than we do in His ability to deliver us. Amen. Ought not be so. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. It's easy to rejoice when everything's going your way, but I'm going to tell you something. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. You know what? If you're even aware that there's a new day, regardless of what's going on in your life and the weather, then you ought to rejoice. God, I mean, He didn't owe it to you. I mean, well, maybe just start day by saying, God, thank you for the breath I'm breathing, because He doesn't owe it to us. Hey, listen, you don't have to go far to find somebody worse shape than you are. Amen. So we got to rejoice. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And we've mentioned it this week. Joy comes from the Lord. It comes from God. Don't let your joy only be associated with good days or good times. And here's why. You'll be depressed a lot of time. And you'll be depressing to be around much of the time. I say it like this. Don't let your spirit be controlled by circumstance. Amen. Let's roll up. Somebody went into
Master Roloff one time and said hello, and he said, "How you doing?" Brother Roloff said, "How you doing?" And the guy said, "Well, under the circumstances, I'm doing all right." And Brother Roloff looked at him and said, "What are you doing under there?" You know, that is so profoundly simple. I got a note in my Bible that says when the things in your life are going crazy, don't go with them. I know, you're amazed. I'll give you a minute to write that down. Amen. I know you're marvel at my spiritual depth. That worked for me, though. Amen. Listen. I'm not happy about a lot of things. I'm not happy about a lot of things going on in my country. I'm not happy about things I see going on in churches that I go to. There are churches I can't go back to because of some precious people that love God that I've grown to love. But there are things going on, and I have to disassociate myself. That's part of it. That's a sad part of evangelism. Amen? But I'm not happy about everything going on in my own family tonight. Oh, yeah, my wife and I are doing fine, and I got some calls today, but there's issues. There's issues. There's struggles. Amen? But you know what? I'm not happy with everything that's going on in my life. I'm not happy with me. You know what I've learned? My biggest disappointment in 20 years of being a Christian, I mentioned it, meets me in the bathroom mirror every morning. I thought I'd be more spiritual than not by now. You know, if you'd have told me 20 years ago that I'd still be struggling with some things that I struggle with, I'd have probably punched you. I'd have been like Demas. I'd have probably got mad, you know. But that's just how it is. But that's not where your joy is. It said rejoice in the Lord always. And I know that's easier said than done sometimes. But you can do it. Because you can do all things you're supposed to do. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens. You can do everything that Bible tells you to do. Amen. All right. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean be stupid. That doesn't mean be careless. It means be careful for nothing. As in, full of care, full of worry, full of fret. Because if you are, there won't be room for anything else. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I heard a preacher say about this verse one time, be careful for nothing, pray about everything, and be thankful for anything. That sounds pretty good. Again, Psalm 37, verse 1 says, fret not thyself. In verse 7, fret not thyself. Again, in verse 8, Psalm 37, fret not thyself. Why would it say that three times? Because that's our tendency. In other words, we get ourselves worked up over things we can't do anything about anyway. Amen. We get worked up over issues that distract from the spiritual and launch us into old man reasoning and response. Where we've got a clear verse that says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be careful for nothing. And then it says, in everything, by prayer and supplication. Prayer and supplication. Listen, beloved, we need to be in constant communication with the Lord. I mean, not just when you eat. You know, bless this food. Not just at bedtime. Amen. We're to be in constant communication with the Lord. I mean, not just when you finally come across something that you can't seem to figure out on your own. Could I remind you tonight, you need Him way more than he needs you. Amen. In everything by prayer and supplication. In other words, talk everything over with God. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And then supplication that is defined like this, entreaty.
That's where you admit that he's right and you're wrong, and you ask him to forgive you. That's what that means. Amen. Supplication is a humble and earnest prayer in the form of worship. You know how that starts out? That starts out by you acknowledging who he is. Listen, Jesus is not your buddy tonight. He's the Lord. You hear me? It says, in everything, pray about it. In everything, keep it in perspective, who you are, who he is. And then it says, let your request be made known unto God. And it says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving? Everything? I'll tell you what, I've seen some things happen in lives of folks. Know a lot more about suffering and trials than I'll ever know. And I'll tell you what, I've been hard-pressed to find anything thankworthy in it from my perspective. That's why I'm glad I got a God who said to us in Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, because I'm not obligated to figure it all out. All I have to do is believe that. You hear me? It says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. It doesn't say for everything, but it says in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I've been saved long enough to know that there are some things you can only be thankful for through Christ. Because you can do all things through Christ. And if you'll do what it said in verse 6, and you can, we'll look at verse 7. Here's what happens. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a benefit. Well, I don't know if I can give thanks. Well, I'll tell you what, the peace of God's worth it. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. My preacher told me long time ago, don't go anywhere without it. Amen? Pray till you get it. Don't make a big decision without the peace of God. You know, you got a formula in here for the peace of God. And you can do it. It's not a secret. It's not a trick. It's right there in black and white. You can do all things you're supposed to do through Jesus Christ. All right, number 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, this is how you can tell Paul was a Baptist preacher. I'm not trying to start a new doctrine here, but he says finally, and he's not even close to being done. Well, matter of fact, he says it at the beginning of chapter 3. Amen. He went to the same school I did. Amen. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. I'm going to tell you what, you're going to be hard-pressed to find anything on that list these days. You're not going to get it on the news. I mean, not even Fox News. Not on Sean Hannity or Dennis, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's hard to do. Amen. Especially in this day and age. I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier to get on a negative bandwagon. Amen. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I'm a realist, except for I don't know what to do with that verse. If you decide to look at everything that way. And I understand there's a balance, and I know some people don't realize there's a balance. Amen. But it says, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, if there's anything you can thank God for, well, then that's what you need to think on. Maintain your sanity. I got something. Well, the world's coming apart at the seams, and we're getting ready to turn on Israel, and Obama's destroying our country, and all that long list. I'm going, okay, you want some virtue? Lord's coming back pretty soon. That's what all that tells me. Do you realize today that everything is unfolding exactly the way Christ said it would? We want to be in the generation before the rapture, but we want to skip that. It's not going to work that way. So here's what you need to do. You need to alter your attitude. This is an exciting time to be alive. God knew when to put us here. God still wants to win people to Jesus Christ. This is exciting. You've been counted worthy to be a Bible believer in the last days church. But you're going to have to do that right there. You might have to strain. Now, don't worry about circumstances. God generates them. Why? Give people a chance to turn around. Amen. 2010, it wasn't a very good year financially. Amen. A lot of strain last year. I'm going church to church. But I would tell you what, it was one of the best years we've ever had spiritually. There's a time that before I could write a prayer letter, because you got to write about thousands being saved, you know, you got to do that, it seems like. I've never written one like that. Okay, prayer letter time, I better find me a prison to go to. Rescue mission or something so that I can at least report that somebody got saved. I'll tell you what, I didn't do too much of that kind of work last year. I did. We have more people walk the aisle and get saved last year in churches than any other year. You know why? Because Christians reevaluated what their confidence was in when everything else they're trusting in started coming apart. And they started getting back in church, and the ones that never got out started getting serious about God again. That affected lost neighbors and relatives, and people started coming to church where they could hear the gospel, and people came forward. Christians got right. People got saved. Yes, in the midst of all this. Now, I don't know about you, but for a preacher, that's what we're here for. For a Christian, what could be more exciting than that? He said, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You may not have to force yourself. I do. But you can. Because you can do all things through Christ. Now here's where I say last of all. And by now, you know. Maybe it means it, maybe it doesn't. Sometimes I don't even know. Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Paul's life is an open book. Amen. And he's saying, you examine how I've lived, what I've said, what I've done, what I've not done. That guy lived for Jesus Christ. Amen. No shadows, no skeletons. Amen. He's saying, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Let's stop right there. Let's stop right there and ask ourselves, what did we learn? What did we receive? What did we hear? What did we see in the Apostle Paul's life in the course of his writings? Well, we saw a few things. We saw this right here. We saw that we're supposed to love our wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We got that, didn't we? We learned that, for this verse, men too, we learned that the responsibility to be the spiritual leader in the home falls on us. Amen. We learned, listen, you ladies, you know what you learned? You learn to submit yourself to your husband. Boy, that goes against the grain, doesn't it? Women don't like to submit to their husbands anymore, and men like to submit to a preacher. Amen. But you can do it. Because you can do all things through Christ. That Bible says that you're to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord in 2011. Paul taught us that. You're supposed to do that. Paul taught us we're to be a witness. Yeah. And this dark world. And we can. And we should be. And most of us in here got saved because somebody was. That's how I got it. Here's what will happen. He said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen and me do. And boy, I'll tell you what, I sold Paul out short. There's a lot more. Read his epistles. But if we'll do them, here's the benefit. Bible Christianity is not grievous. There's always a benefit. for us, the benefit outweighs anything God requests of us. And here's the benefit of doing what he says to do. The rest of the verse. Verse 9. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now listen, reading through, I got excited about the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keeping my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That I need. That's what I need him to do it. Amen. But boy, it gets better now. Because it doesn't say, peace of God shall be with you. It says the God of peace shall be with you. Now, if you've got any misconception that there's anyone better to have with you than that, boy, you need to have a serious talk with God. You probably just need to get saved. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In other words, you can do everything you're supposed to do. I know sometimes it's hard. Amen. But boy, through Christ, we can do it. Now, I want to leave you with this. See, I said it differently. See, lastly, finally, yeah. And I haven't even said anything about closing. John 15 and verse 5. John, go ahead and turn there. John 15 and verse 5, Lord speaking. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Amen. For without me, ye can do nothing. So really, I mean, you got an option there. Through Christ, you can do all things. But without Christ, you can do nothing. I marvel sometimes at times where I've tried. I wonder, those of us that are King James Bible believers, why we get into some of the messes we get in. Because we're doing things without him. It needn't be so. The only thing we can do without Jesus Christ is make a mess. And he can fix messes, but I wonder if we couldn't do more for his honor and glory if we just bear in mind that we can do all things through him. Amen? So if you've been trying stuff without him, it's time to get him in on what you're doing. Let's rephrase that. Time for you to get in on what he's doing. And you can through Jesus Christ. Father, I love you tonight. I thank you for the liberty that we prayed for. I pray if there's a soul in here tonight that doesn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt they spend eternity in heaven instead of a devil's hell, I pray that tonight prick their conscience, make it easy for them to understand that the greatest need they have doesn't have anything to do with what time it is or what they're going to do later, tomorrow, next week, next year. Has to do with where they're going to spend eternity. Pray that tonight, perhaps someone would respond to the gospel, but the message was to your people tonight. I thank you for them. I pray for them again. I pray that you bless them, and I pray that any area that your spirit has spoken to hearts concerning this message, I pray they'd respond. In any area that wasn't hit, but the Holy Spirit bore witness, I pray they would response. Thank you for your goodness and kindness and grace to me. And I pray that the final invitation would be according to thy will and pleasing in thy sight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand here with number 321 in hand. 321. The Lord spoke to you tonight, or any of the rest of this week that you've not responded to, or maybe even need to revisit something you've dealt with here this week. Would you feel free to come? I hope you will. 321. heads here for another minute or two. And I used to hold a revival in some mystic, esoteric concept, I guess. And there may be some of that that's true. But the fact is, I learned a long time ago, I basically control how I'm doing with the Lord. And I find that when I'm more distant than I ought to be, it's my fault, not his. I can't even blame the world. Can't even blame the devil. It's my fault. And he gives me power to deal with it. And so it's my responsibility to deal with it. Now, if the Lord's dealt with you this week about something and you haven't faced it, gentlemen, manfully, then, and courageously, had a little intestinal fortitude and just faced up to it and said before the mirror of God, you know what? God's right and I'm wrong. And maybe one of my brothers or sisters tried to tell me something about it some time ago. It was God's direction and I ignored them. And God, I'm here tonight to say that you're right and I'm wrong. Maybe you have yet to cover that ground this week. A lot of folks have been at the altar. That's a rejoicing. Probably some victories won, I'm glad. But if there's anything left here tonight that you need to deal with, would you come? You know, you get preached at a lot. Not just from me, but even through this last year with me being down a lot. Brother Grissom, Brother Darling, Brother Caribou, and various other evangelists, missionaries come through. And I know you hear the voice of God. And we're trying to keep the pulpit hot because we want that to be real. We want the voice of God through preaching to always be present for you here if you come here. But still, the fact remains that none of us can make any of the rest of us deal with our issues. Would you please allow the Lord to deal with you tonight? And would you be willing to deal with Him tonight? We always romanticize Rebecca's answer. Wilt thou go with this man? I will go. Okay, well, will you deal with what the Lord dealt with you about tonight? Will you deal with it? Can you say, I will? And would you? Stanza. It's been good. Really, really good. Appreciate y'all being here all this week. A lot of visitors been here. Appreciate you guys being here. Brother Brandon, it is 7 o'clock down there all week, right? Starting Wednesday. All right. 7 o'clock then, except for Sunday. So hopefully some of you can get down there. We've got wedding stuff here. Keep in prayer about that with John and Laura's wedding and all that. Appreciate your faithfulness. Appreciate your generosity before we've counted money and all that, but I know it'll be good. So keep the Spurgeons in your prayers. And thank Mrs. Spurgeon tonight for watching the nursery. Amen? Brave lady. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, now we're able with good conscience to commit these folks once again to Thee and ask You to be with them as they get on the road, to just go down the road a little ways. But Father, it won't be many weeks from now that they'll be a long way from here. So we pray you'll be with them, uphold them in their trials and all the decisions they have to make, all those things, Father. And we are grateful for a friend and for a friendship. We ask you, Lord, that we'll be praying for them as we pray for a lot of folks. Ask you to help us be faithful, Father. I'm sure one thing that Brother Spurgeon sees a lot, as he said this week, is he goes back sometimes, and it is discouraging what he sees when he goes back to churches sometimes. Father, we hope that we may stay in some state of victory here so that that kind of thing may not happen to him in this case. We want to be victorious, not just for him, Father, but for thee. Want you to look upon us and have pleasure in what you see going on amongst us. And we earnestly ask that you'll strengthen us to do those very things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, folks. Appreciate you being here.